everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Benzinga's Cannabis Insider. I'm Pato Little, and with me is Abby Higginbotham. And we've got quite a show lined up for you today.
We absolutely do. We are thrilled to have an amazing guest joining us today. You might know him as the voice of Dr. Krieger on Archer, but today he's here to talk about his latest venture in the cannabis world. We are happy to have Lucky Yates on the show today.
Yes, that's right. Lucky has teamed up with Grasshopper Farms to launch some exclusive cannabis strains, and we are eager to hear all about this. Plus, we'll dive into his personal journey with cannabis and how it has impacted his life.
And much more. And let's not forget, Lucky's a Detroit native, so we got some hometown pride to discuss as well. So let's get started.
Let's go.
Oh, hi, Lucky. Here.
Welcome to
Hello,
the show.
Welcome. thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, you've really pulled a crowd
today. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. Wow. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
And you're welcome in advance for the disaster that I'm going to create during the course of your Benzinga podcast show.
You're going to enjoy the disaster.
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, I've already thrown them off their game pre-show. This is the second try. We've already started once, and we had to redo it.
Because
I came in with so much chaos at the top. We had to go again.
The best energy we've had coming into a show, though, I will say.
Absolutely. And great things come out of chaos, so...
Generally, it's the hosts trying to warm the guest up a little bit. And here I am like, okay, guys, here's my speed. And I'm sorry.
No. We will try to match you.
And we'll try to get into Grasshopper's Farm as well. But who knows? We're just going to jump
in. Oh, we're going to get into Grasshopper Farms, all right. That's my favorite place on the planet. And it needs these investors' monies. Come on, fat cats. We got to get them dollar bills rolling. Lucky Eats Grasshopper Telethon starting right now, ladies and gentlemen. Is right. Hey, all right. Hey, who loves America and who loves cannabis, huh?
Absolutely.
I do. Lucky Yates. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here representing Grasshopper Farms and my strains, Smoke Bomb and cannabis. It is a type of cannabis.
Oh my
Smoke
God.
Bomb and Jazz Hands. Two exclusive strains of cannabis. Brought to you by our friends at Grasshopper Farms.
Thank you. Jesus, we will need
there
to
you
rank
go
these.
At the top. I already got it out of the way.
Well, we're bringing it back around, but the intro to it, we call them our buds, our audience. So buds, get ready to talk about Grasshopper Farms. But starting out, let's take it back.
Oh, you said the magic word. Let's talk about Grasshopper Farms in beautiful Pawpaw, Michigan, the western part. Of the Great Lakes State, just past Kalamazoo if you're heading west. 160 acres of nature and the best sun-grown cannabis products this earth has ever seen.
Oh, God.
I'm so sorry.
No.
No, you don't need to be sorry. I would love to have your energy every day I wake up.
Eventually it grows into becoming a nightmare.
I don't know. We can talk about that.
And this makes me want to jump into our first question. Before I say the word that will kick off, but tell us.
I won't do it anymore. You can say Grasshopper Farms. And I won't do the thing.
Farms, I do want to talk a little bit about your background. How did you get into the industry? How did you get into voice acting?
Oh, into that industry. That's just, you know, I never wanted to be anything but an actor. I wrote a paper in the first grade about it, that I wanted to be an actor. And I have a theater degree from Wayne State University right here in Detroit, Michigan. Ladies and gentlemen, fine theater department if you're ever looking to get into the game. And it's all, you know, I spent many years in the trenches doing live theater and then eventually got into improv comedy in Atlanta. with a company called Dad's Garage Theater, which is really, really great spot. And did improv there for 25 years. And during the course of time there, you know, Atlanta has grown into a Los Angeles South since I've been there. It's been really weird and amazing. When I moved there in like 1992, and it was a sleepy little southern town. It reminded me a lot of Detroit if Detroit hadn't really gone down the tubes. Like if Detroit had just hung on during the bad times and somehow made it through. I was like, oh, this is great. And then it's now LA. And so tons of things have gotten produced there for a long time and are getting produced there. And eventually friends of mine got a show on a good network, and we ran for 14 years. It was crazy. Amazing. So it's like me and a bunch of, and my friend Amber from Dad's Garage, and then a bunch of famous people.
Absolutely lovely. And was there any connection between your acting career and your beginnings in cannabis?
I mean, other than, you know, being in college and in the theater department, it, you know, you just really go for it all. Because, you know, you got, listen, when you're, let me give the kids a plug. I don't know how many college age kids are listening to this podcast right now.
Of course, all of them.
Listen up, buds. Even if you're thinking of going back into school, you go into the theater department, you have this thing where you're like, well, I have to experience as much as I possibly can in life, because if I ever portray a character one day in the future that has to go through such and such, I want to be able to draw upon my experiences and doing so. It, you know, gives dumb teenagers license experiment as much. And I settled cannabis is really the one that works best for me. I even took a break from it for like a decade, somewhere in the early 2000s, I want to say.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, was nine, I think I took a break.
Was it a bad experience? Was it just kind of?
Oh, yeah, okay. I had brownies at a party. Buddy of mine. Buddy of mine was
the classic bad experience.
Yeah, a buddy of mine was his fiance had a lot of friends, they one of them brought brownies that had no indication that they were laced brownies or whatever. And so I gobbled some brownies and really went on a bad night experience. And so, like, I just was like, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. And my love affair with alcohol at the time was strong. And so I come from a line of professional drinkers and could keep up with the best of them without any incident. And then somewhere around 2009, alcohol just decided it didn't love me anymore and just became a brutal mistress whose flavor I still enjoyed, but whose treatment of me was really just had become abusive. And so I got out and I was like, you know, it's been about a decade since I've tried that cannabis, and it's come a long way since I dropped it in 99. So let's see what that's all about. And boy howdy, it really was like, if I could put this in, it was like a big green beautiful woman who just took me into her arms and embraced me and just like right to her bosom. And I was like, this is where I want to be for the rest of my life. This is perfect and comfortable and awesome.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
We're on the topic, favorite way to partake then. And I think that.
I'm old. I'm a doobie guy.
That's not old. That's
doobies are bowls, man. Doobies are bowls.
Ow.
I don't feel bong because it's like too much work.
And I'd be surprised if you said tinctures and like a tea. So, you know,
I'm not a huge fan of edibles and drinking. Just I do like when it's just a heavier high. You know, I like being zippy. You know, I'm hyper as hell as I showed you before we started this podcast. I'm much more tame, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. What you're getting now is about 30% of what I came in with at the top of the show.
I don't know. I'm just going to say, well, we're doing some researching. Was a blast. Your LinkedIn bio literally says sexy scamp with badass voice.
Who says that?
Your LinkedIn
bio. Your LinkedIn bio. Yes.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Did I write that?
Maybe.
I have a Wikipedia page. I don't know how it got there. And also an IMDb page. I don't know how it got there. Who does those things? I didn't do them. I just sit around.
I was going to say I would be surprised if just casually you have a LinkedIn profile, but you know, if you do, 10 out of 10.
I,
bio.
I might.
Yeah.
But like,
I'm good at business.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it's there for. But talking about going back, talking about your favorite strands, talking about this.
Oh yeah. Let's do it.
Please be ready. Sparks, speaking of exciting ventures, what was it about Grasshopper Farms? Do you want to?
Talking about Grasshopper Farms, the finest sun-grown outdoor cannabis in the United States of America. Right here in Paw, Michigan, other locations in Colorado, New Jersey, Minnesota, and a state near you if you get off your tuckuses and go to the voting booth and tell your congressman, hey, give us the right to be happy in a natural way, you idiots. Farms? How did I get involved with them?
Amazing.
Grasshopper Farms that apparently just called senators idiots or congressmen people idiots. That Grasshopper Farms? That was, by the way, those were my my opinions, and they do not.
The good disclaimer, yeah.
Ironically enough, this episode will probably be going out around 4th of July. We are looking very patriotic.
America! If I got news for you! It's time to get off your butts! Roll some dubes! We're taking Washington by storm! But first, we'll swing by Paw Paw, Michigan, home of Grasshopper Farms.
How did you get involved with Grasshopper Farms?
Okay. So sorry. It's like fate. Fate put us together. That is the very short answer. Like the universe just conspired to put Will Bowden and I together because we are in love with one another. We have the greatest bromance possible. I have a cousin, my cousin Lisa, who lives in Marin County. She's an accountant. And she and I were texting one night. This is back in 2020. And she mentioned, because I'm a big pothead, she mentioned that she had one of her friends was moving to Paw Paw, Michigan to help start up this farm growing cannabis. And I said, is that a cannabis that wants to do business with TV's Lucky Yates? And she said, I don't know. I'll ask. That's how it happened.
Lovely.
Suddenly I was getting emails, and then Will and I had a FaceTime together. And if I could take a second to talk about what an amazing human being Will is, who runs Grasshopper Farms. Not only is he the most positive, wonderful, just he's a breath of fresh, beautiful sunshine air. Like he is just the best a person can be. And he's just so energetic to be around, and you can't help but be in love with the guy. So he does a FaceTime with me, and he takes me on like this 45-minute tour with his phone of the farm and shows me every single thing that he does. And then he says, so, but if you're looking to get into the business, I don't know that Michigan would be a great place to do it because, you know, the market's oversaturated here. But if you want any help along the way, I can help you start your farm. And I was like, dude, what are you talking about? I want to work with you. And he went, what? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm a Grasshopper Farms man. And he was in immediately. I didn't have this at the time. But if I did, bet your ass I would have used it. Anyway. Then he went, oh, man, great. And then he was a fan of Archer because he was in the military, and military folk are generally fans of the show. And God bless our troops. It just was meant to be. And then I went out to their open house last summer by surprise. I just surprised him by showing up. And he and I had been texting for years, just not knowing. I knew we had a sort of goal of like, hey, my dream is to just have a couple of strains named, especially if I can get sort of Kriegerisms somewhere in the mix. I just think it would be cool. I like to leave my little mark in society of like, I've been here, the end, you know, there's my little graffiti. And so he eventually it just like worked out to where last summer I went out there and saw them, and then suddenly they had a couple of strains that they had developed that didn't have names, and they were like, hey, how about we do these? And I was great, like, great. So they sent me samples, and I already had a name or a list of names at the ready that were Kriegerisms, but not anything that Disney could claim ownership to. It's a very prestigious company. Right. They ultimately own the show. And so, like, everything we did with the strain is like, I'm pushing the line as far as it can be pushed and bent without it ever breaking in the lines of legality. And, like, I showed... I never brought the network or anything into this. I shouldn't be saying this on a podcast, but fuck it. It's already done. They can't see statistics. Now people have purchased it. It's sold out, by the way. Anyway. Amazing. I know, right?
We won't contact Disney, I promise. I know they're big fans of Cannabis Insider from Benzinga.
Hey, Iger, just chill out, man. Trust me. Get me in a room with you. We'll share a smoke bomb. It's really, I'm on it right now. And we'll have a great time together. But anyway, we did all the things and just had this beautiful product. My friend Courtney Hicks was an artist and art director on the show for 12 or 13 of its 14 years. And so mm-hmm. she designed the poster for it. So it's all, everything's up to code. Now I have these Krieger-esque strains out there in the universe. And I think that's just a super duper thing.
Yeah, and you just mentioned the names of these strains, Jazz Hands and Smoke Bomb. So we wanted to ask you, what makes these strains stand out and what can cannabis enthusiasts look forward to?
Okay, yeah, so Jazz Hands is much more zippy. I enjoy zippy because I'm hyper and so like stimulant.
Oh, same here.
Thank God I have never tried the cocaine. Because I stayed away from it because I'm
too
just
much
like,
stimulation.
You know, I'm already bad enough. Can you imagine me even more wound up? Come on. Nobody wants that. But also, like, you know, I'm a coffee fiend. When I sampled the one that eventually became Jazz Hands, I did it in the morning, and the next thing I knew, I had cleaned, like, my entire place. It mopped and like really cleaned. And then I was just like, oh my God, I think I just cleaned my whole house. And I just never, like, I had music playing and it just like, it just started, right? I just did it. I started with one little task and then suddenly it just bled into this whole thing. And then I was done and I had a great time doing it. And I was like, all right, that's a Jazz Hands for sure. Cause I sort of danced around and everything while I was mopping. And then the next day I sampled the next strain. And it still had a lot of energy, but there was, believe it or not, a much more chill head to it where you just didn't, like, in the present, you're just like, everything's A-OK. You were all A-OK. You didn't get to A-OK without thinking about it. You were just already there. And so I was like, oh, that's a good smoke bomb one. And so, like, you know, I had those names at the ready. And they're good names. They're also, like, really great, really great weed names.
Absolutely. And describing them, it seems like you're more into like a sativa type rather than an indica.
Oh, I'm a sativa diva, baby. But I mean, I'll take hybrids and stuff like that. And I've had indicas that have really turned me on. But for the most part, yeah, I don't want to be dumbed down ever. If anything, I just want to go more. Let's go harder.
I'm stealing sativa diva, though. That is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, take it.
So I want to jump to something recent. You had some meet and greet sessions in Detroit.
Yeah.
Speaking of hometown of Benzinga and you. And I'm just curious. You're a fun guy. It's obvious you can see Buds. Obviously, let us know in the comments what you think of Lucky and his buttons. Personally, fantastic. But what are some memorable moments from this event?
We did 8 Mile and we had to work it, man. We were like nobody the 8 Mile store of the House of Dank, which was like it was exclusive to this one dispensary. And so we had the 8 Mile store and it was at noon and people were just there for their thing and to get out of there and not necessarily there to see anybody from Archer or any kind of any of that. But man, like it's might be the store that where we engaged with. No, that's not true. The final one down on Fort Street was the one where we engaged the most with people. But it was the second one. It was my second favorite. That and Monroe, Fort Street were like equal in that we had to engage more with people just to get them to even. We were right there at the entrance to even get them to like, hey, here's what we're doing here. And, you know, it came at them with fun. And we did a lot of sales at that store that day. And it was all about just like, screwing around, like I was doing this, you know what I mean, but trying to sell, you know, my bags with my face on. So I just kept calling it like, don't you want it, wouldn't you want to have weed with the handsomest man you've ever seen on its cover? Come on now.
Did you have any fans react to like maybe your jump into the cannabis industry? Were those any comments?
I mean, yeah, like definitely in Ipsy for sure. In Ypsilanti, you know, Archer fans came. So that was like awesome when suddenly, you know, they were like, and I feel like they were there either there early or in between a lull. And like, it was just me and these two, you know, cannabis users, but also, you know, Comic-Con attendee types. You can always spot your little adorable nerdy couple. And we just hung out for a while. And I was like, is this the greatest? You're just having like sort of a one person, like you're having your own private Lucky Eights Con right now. And we had a great time. It was fun.
Wow.
I'm a man of the people. I love the people.
I don't think
it's really fun, yeah.
Unless they're assholes. I don't, you know. That's the only thing. Just don't be an asshole.
I wanted to ask you, I mean, given your I don't know, your awesome background in entertainment and your role as Dr. Krieger on Archer.
Don't forget my role as professor that I made up just for this show.
Exactly. Now, as you're a professor in communicating things.
Thank you. Thank you very much for acknowledging my title.
How do you think celebrities like yourself can influence how people view cannabis? And then,
well, first of all, celebrities like myself can't really influence much of anything. I'm as low as you can get on the celebrity ladder as possible, which is fine. Uh-huh. People still know who I am. Some people, a very niche audience, knows who I am, but that's how I like it. Anyway, what was the answer? Or what was the question?
Besides the level of acknowledgement you think you have in the cannabis industry, I mean, it's always interesting to see the role of celebrities or, I don't know, people from professional sports into the cannabis industry.
And so,
I wanted to know what responsibilities do you think come with promoting cannabis use, for example?
Well, I mean, you know, you definitely want to, you know, keep it away from kids who are, their brains are still developing. It's an adult drug. You know, I mean, everybody smokes it in college, but in college, at least you're out on your own for the first time, but your brains are still developing. So, you know, ease up, kids. Well, got to make sure all your synapses are tuned up before you start like rewiring. Just be cool at all times. And, you know, it's nature's Valentine to us, cannabis. And so we should just embrace it as you do your favorite Valentine from your favorite love from the favorite time in your life. How's that? Thank you. Thank you. How's that? That's even better.
That one's the correct.
Cannabis is love. I mean, I was also the guy, like, Seth Rogen has always, and Snoop were like the two sort of kings of like being outspoken all the time about it from early on, where just like, you know, people were just like, wow, dude, that's like nowhere near legalized anywhere in this country. You guys are really going hard, which is great. And so like they were inspired. But I was always the guy that would be at the events and I would find a way to get weed wherever we were. And then I would just, there would be just a group of celebrities and everybody always gather in the bar and all the people, all the actors. The thing is celebrities is a silly idea, but it's just, you know, because ultimately we're all just insecure actors. Like all actors are just insecure because you're all worried about your next job. So we all huddle. Everybody huddles at the bar and together. Like the actors are always in a clump. It's hilarious. And so, but I would always be the guy that would go outside and then just come back like Pigpen from Peanuts in a cloud of just scent. And everybody be like, oh my God, Lucky Jesus, dude. Oh my God. Well, how do you do it? Oh, you're so bold about it. Oh my God. Fuck it. I don't. What do you do? Kick me out? I don't care. Just more press for me.
I mean, we are laughing, but it's always. I mean, there's people that prefer to go through their professional career without even speaking about their cannabis use, even though they use cannabis.
By the end of it, I mean, there were execs that would follow me outside when I would go. You know, I would like go outside with like top dogs and just sit out there and puff a J with them because they knew I would bring it and they knew it was good and they knew it would be cool and I wasn't going to hassle them and try to get on other shit. I was just going to sit out there and smoke a doob with them. And
get rid of the stigma. I mean, little by little. That's
exactly, right.
You got to chip away at it. That's like everything that, you know, that carries these old... Lucky Yates as an entity, even back when I was little Matt Yates, it's always, I carry a bad rap for no reason. Like people just look at me and they're like, I don't know what he did, but that guy did it. What did I do? I've been that guy my whole life. Everybody always assumes I'm the guy that, and so, I spent a lot of time just understanding that you just have to chip away at these things and just be cool. If you're just cool and you just chip away at those little like stigmas that you carry and get attached to things, then everybody just ends up going like, oh yeah, it's really cool.
Switching from your possible crimes, I do want to talk about a
really- That's the thing! No crimes! None! Mischief, sure. Mischief, but harmless mischief. I would never do anything malicious or intentionally harmful to anybody. I'm a good man.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
I mean, unless they're an asshole. I don't fuck them over. I don't care.
Switching to a really, really like sexy, hot topic, policy. This wouldn't be a Cannabis Insider episode without it. I just kind of want to talk about Michigan, your thoughts on, on these policies, and are there any changes that you'd like to see?
It's tough because I just got back up here. I still have a place in Atlanta, Georgia, where it's still illegal. Like it's in the city, it's been decriminalized. But I mean, it's so easy to get there. Everybody smokes it. It's so like you walk around Atlanta and it just wafts everywhere because it's just everybody's smoking it. Cars are going by, people are going by, apartments are there. And it's just insane that any states are still holding back. It's so dumb. It's just like, how much more proof do you need that this isn't some sort of psycho drug? Anyway, so policies, things like places like Atlanta or in Georgia, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why they refuse to get it passed. I have a feeling they're just wanting to get their hands as deep into the cookie jar as they can before they sign the bill or whatever. What do I know? as far as Michigan goes, that's one of the main reasons I bought another place. I mean, other than to be back home and back in the city that I love the most, Detroit, Michigan, greatest city in America. Yeah, you forgot about that, didn't you? Yeah. It was because I live in tiny little Hamtramck, which is a 2-square-mile town within the city of Detroit. We're a city within the city. And just in my 2-square-mile town, there are 3 dispensaries I can walk to. And that kind of just like having that freedom to just go to the store, like not a criminal. Not having to be a criminal in order to get my hands on something that just makes me calm. Believe it or not, I'm calm right now. Makes me calm and happy all day. But when I mean calm, like otherwise, before weed, I was an anxiety-ridden basket case all the time. Like all of this fun energy, turn that into nightmarish anxiety. Oh, that's fun. Mm-hmm. But then like cannabis, when it made it go away, it's just like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. Everything's fine.
Well, scrapping policy, just it's important. And I know you said you're not like your celebrity status. Let's throw that out the window. But people like you that do come from a background of, you know, being on well-known shows, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's important to hear from you just on legalization, you know?
Oh, my God. I am.
Yeah, your thoughts.
I legalize it. It's ridiculous. It's a plant that just grows from the ground. It was there before us, you dumb idiots. What are you trying to stop it? And it may, like, name one fight. Name one fight, one barroom brawl that weed caused. Just one. Like everybody in this country, alcohol everywhere. Alcohol poison. That's a poison, and it makes people violent and unruly. And cannabis just makes everybody happy and friends. Or maybe you'll watch a film together and notice things you've never noticed before, even though you've seen that film 25,000 times.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I never noticed her eye go that way when she said that line. That means a whole different thing that I knew. Anyway. Oh, cannabis is the best, and it should be legalized. Vote Lucky Yates and vote often. Oh, did we talk about my campaign yet? That's why this music is in here. I want to become the new write-in guy for no matter the election, he's your selection. I don't care. HOA boards, homecoming courts, city comptroller, whatever the fuck that is. Like if you go to some election, if your company is having election, you're like, I don't know. I don't know who to vote. Lucky Yates. Just I want to be the write-in guy, the new Mickey Mouse. I don't want to vote for Lucky Yates here. And if I win, I'll show up and just do whatever job I got voted into. I'll show up.
But vote for Lucky Yates.
Go Lucky Yates. One thing for sure, we'll be smoking cannabis at that establishment. Am I right, America? Oh, yeah.
You are definitely right about
Sativa Diva for everyone.
Sativa Diva. And I would like to say that Lucky Yates is a Sativa Diva certified. One more thing I wanted to jump back. You're talking about movies and all the colors and everything that you can notice differently. I don't know why I'm going to tell this story, but yeah, no, I totally agree. One time I watched Hot Rod and I laughed so hard I sobbed. Then it turned into sobbing for 10 minutes. And you can have emotions.
And what an amazing release. I'll bet you felt so fucking good after that. Like your whole body was so relaxed after that super hard laugh and weep from like joy into just sobbing.
And this is something that Grasshopper Farms like products can provide.
Grasshopper Farms will bring you the finest products that will make you laugh until you uncontrollably sob and perhaps urinate and defecate yourself. Who knows how far it may go? It depends on how hilarious the thing you're watching is at the time. Defecation is by no means caused by any product from Grasshopper Farms.
Thank you for the disclaimer on the other.
I had. It's weed so good it'll make you shit yourself.
That's a good one.
But it really is like it's canna, it's sun grown, it's outdoor grown, and it really, I find personally that like the highs sort of last longer. Is that weird to say that outdoor grow has a longer lasting eye to it? I don't know.
We're not saying it's the only interview.
I don't know. I'm a one person, what are those groups called in science? Focus group. One person focus group over here. What do I know? I have nothing to bounce it off of.
We'll make sure to ask the next scientist we have on.
Get me with the Benzinga science crew. Does Benzinga have a science crew?
We should.
Maybe not.
You should. Doesn't mean you do. Cannabis should be legal in this country.
The cannabis editorial team is kind of like a science crew.
America, are we really going to let Canada outdo us like this? It's the 4th of fucking July. And we're going to let Canada kick us around in the legalized weed game? Are you serious? Come on, people!
That actually brings me a question. Because, we are having fun now, but really, Canada has in some... for some people has kind of a more developed policy, and I don't know, do you have any comments or any comparisons between Canada and US market, and maybe
Canada's always going to do it just a little bit better than us because they're a lot nicer than we are, and they're a lot less selfish than your typical American. They're a rough house people too, but still they're like, you know, they're definitely more on the social side of government policies where they're just like, you're going to let the people do what the people really want. You know, it's not going to be some money racket. I don't know if that has anything to do with them still being on King Charles's leash, ultimately, because, you know, that's another thing Canada has to deal with. They still ultimately belong to England. Fuck that shit! America! We stand on our own! We kick those British bastards out of our country 50-some-odd years ago!
Our last question was totally about the royal family and your thoughts on
it. Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
And talk about what's going on. Did they build Windsor Castle on a radium mine? Why is everybody dropping? We suddenly got cancer ridden. What's going on? Is there a curse? Is that Elizabeth's curse?
I don't know, but they should legalize it. They would get so much. Oh God! I don't know what you're doing. The sounds with how was the what is the call of that? The story theme of that gadget?
Twilight Zone.
That's Twilight Zone. That's
Queen no, Elizabeth's no, no. The gadget you're doing around. That with.
What?
The gadget you're doing that with?
Well, that is a Rodecaster Pro podcast soundboard that I'm running all of my microphone situation through. It comes with hotkeys.
Before we let you go, we wanted to ask you one more question.
Just one more. We have to go. Oh, Pato, you make me sad.
Oh, we can say more.
Oh, good. I got nothing going on today.
Oh, my God.
Let me shoot you the question about, I mean, this is a question about the future. So, I mean, I don't know if you have any sounds for that, but. Okay, that might be a good one.
I did my cheese line.
What future projects?
My actual cheese that I'm eating after this podcast is already in. What am I? What's the question?
I have a similar plan here. And I wanted to ask you about future plans or collaborations that we can expect from you and Grasshopper Farms after. Okay.
I don't know. We'll see. I just met with a guy earlier today, and we're like, that's I think what we're taking this summer, and we're figuring that part out. But there will be more by next summer. There will be more shenanigans. Next time, Lucky Eights. I've always been meaning to get off my tuchus and do some sort of podcast show. But should I even try to get in the game? You guys are podcast hosts. Should I even try to get in this game at this point?
Absolutely. I think that's the first step.
So. People listen to me bouncing off the wall like this for an hour a week.
Brittany Broski is a podcaster who talks about nothing. I think anything is possible.
Oh, I can talk about anything for an hour.
Hey,
you just watch me go.
The important thing is how you talk about things, not. And nowadays, not so much the content, but how you make it. So I think you would have quite a good number of fans.
And Lucky, genuinely, I love your passion in every aspect of things, cannabis especially. It's been fantastic having you on the show today.
Thank you so much. I hope I wasn't too chaotic for you guys.
No, this is perfect. This is what we would like
to
see. So
10 out of 10.
Yeah. Hot damn. That's all I wanted, a 10 out of 10. All I was going for was a perfect score.
So thank you for sharing your journey and the exciting things that are happening with Grasshopper Farms.
Yeah, keep your eyeballs on it. I'm excited about them too. Who knows what it'll be?
All right. Bye, Lucky.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Lucky. Have a good day.
What an incredible interview. A big thank you to our guests for joining in today and to our buds for tuning in.
Yes, and that wraps up today's Cannabis Insider. Before we go, remember to check out all our Benzinga daily content. Don't miss out on our upcoming events, including Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference, along with our virtual events. For all the details, visit benzinga.com or benzinga.com/events.
None that you want to miss out on. So also follow us on all social medias to keep up with the latest cannabis news. I'm Abby Higginbotham.
And I am Pato Little. Remember to stay green, stay informed, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.